This is Creepy and Geeky, a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Welcome to Creepy and Geeky. I'm your host, Robert, and today is the first episode in my Chucky series. And we're talking about the first Child's Play movie and the 2019 remake. Joining me for this episode is my daughter, Katrina. Welcome back to the show, Katrina.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah. Just a short 1 week later. All right. So we are doing the Chucky movies. We're starting a Chucky series. It's kind of funny, though, too, because you have an interesting history with the Chucky series, which really would have probably been better for you to do a later episode. Mm-hmm. But you chose this one. So, and I know why you chose this one, but you can let people know, number one, what your history with the Chucky franchise is, and two, why you chose this episode.
So I think I used to love Seed of Chucky when I was little, and I don't know if we had it on VHS or on DVD, but I distinctly remember like waking up after like falling asleep to the movie to like the selection screen, and I don't remember what was on the selection screen, but it terrified me, so I stopped watching the movie. But it was apparently my favorite. I don't really remember it all that much, but when I was 4 years old. So,
let me go ahead and tell the story then, since you don't really remember it that much, because you were actually 3 years old.
Oh.
So here's how the story goes, is that when Seed of Chucky had come out on DVD, not too long after it had become available to rent through Netflix on their old DVD service before they started doing streaming, I rented it and I wanted to watch it one night, and my wife wanted to go to bed, and Katrina, for most of her young childhood, would not go to bed if somebody else was still awake. She couldn't not be up and know what was going on at all times. And so, so she would stay up. And so she wanted to stay up with me while I watched Seed of Chucky. So me being the bad father that I am, let her stay up and watch Seed of Chucky, which is weird. You know, anybody who's seen Seed of Chucky, you know how wild and weird that is. Plus it's literally the only Chucky movie that has any nudity in it. There's no nudity in any other Seed of Chucky movie. So I let her stay up and watch it, and she loved it. She loved it so much that a couple of weeks after that, we were at the store and we told the kids that they could get, you know, one DVD that they wanted to get. And, figuring that they would both choose something, you know, kid friendly-ish. And she chose Seed of Chucky. and I was just like, all right, fine. You know, you've already seen it. So it's not like it can corrupt you anymore. And so, yeah. So she used to watch it a lot. We would put it on, she'd go to sleep, and, you know, she'd go to sleep to it. And then of course, yeah, the really obnoxious menu screen would be loud and annoying and wake her up, and she'd get scared from that. But yeah, so it was pretty funny. So that's her background on Seed of Chucky. So so she doesn't really remember that movie at all, but it is a funny story to tell again about, you know, when people talk about, oh well, my kid saw this at this age, and I'm like, yeah, my daughter watched Seed of Chucky at three, so and loved it. So yeah, it's pretty funny. But that being said, why did you choose this episode to be on?
Well, I'd always wanted to see the remake because I love Aubrey Plaza. She's like one of my favorite actresses. I think she is hilarious in like both the characters she plays and just as a person.
Right.
And so I really wanted to watch this movie when it came out in 2019, but I don't remember why we didn't watch it. But I
Yeah, I'm
don't
not
know.
sure. Yeah.
So maybe we were just like waiting for it to come out on streaming, because we did that sometimes with like things that
Yeah.
we were wanting to watch but not really like wanting to go to a theater for. So maybe
Yeah,
that was
I
part of
didn't
it.
at the time, 2019, I was probably still, yeah, it was still before you got the movie theater job. And so pretty much any time I would, movies are expensive. So we didn't tend to go unless it was like a Marvel or Star Wars movie or something really big that
I
we really wanted to go
remember
see.
that we would sometimes watch like random movies if you got movie tickets through T-Mobile Tuesdays. And that was like one of the only other parts, like days that we would go watch movies was if we had those tickets.
So yeah. All right. So
But
yeah,
yeah.
so
So I wanted to watch the 2019 one with that, and my dad was pairing it with the first
the
one, so I was
original.
like, okay,
Yeah.
sure.
So that was all just 'cause you wanted to watch it 'cause you like Aubrey Plaza. And I like Aubrey Plaza too. She's really cool. So she's one of my
She was in,
favorite.
sorry,
Go
she
ahead.
was in
No, go ahead.
this movie called, I don't remember what it was called,
Emily
but
the
it's this
Criminal?
Chris, no, it's
Oh, the
this
Christmas
Christmas,
movie one.
yes, yeah, this Christmas movie that has Kristen Stewart in it. And I'm not like the hugest fan of Kristen Stewart, but it was like it was a decent movie, and Kristen Stewart's acting in it was fine. And like the only other thing I've ever seen Kristen Stewart in is Zathura, so I've never seen the Twilight movies or anything else she's been in. So it was, yeah.
That's funny.
So and then Aubrey Plaza plays a character in it that has like some sort of feelings towards Kristen Stewart's character, and I've been hoping that they were going to make a sequel to it, because they kind of left it the ending like to have a sequel for their relationship and stuff, and they didn't. So hopefully someday.
Yeah, hopefully. All right. Well, let's get into the original Child's Play from 1998, directed by Tom Holland. No, not that Tom Holland.
I had to look that up.
You're like,
When I just
what?
saw it on the credits, I was like, wait a second.
I'm pretty sure
I was like, is
Spider-Man Tom
Tom?
Holland wasn't even born then.
No, I was looking it up to see if he was like a junior or something that I like
Oh,
didn't
gotcha,
know
gotcha.
about.
No, completely different people. This Tom Holland was had previously written a bunch of movies, and his first directorial debut came out in 1985, which was the vampire movie Fright Night, which I will be covering soon on the podcast as well. So,
Gonna
but
say, I heard
yes.
you talk about it before.
Yeah.
Maybe just
So
like saying the words, but yeah.
you've heard me say the words fright and night together.
Like, I think you're like listing like things that you were watching, or that, or maybe I saw it on your like bookshelf with all of your other DVDs or something.
So yeah, this one came out a couple of years later in Fright Night. Chris Sarandon played the bad guy vampire in that one, and in this one he plays the cop slash hero of sorts of the movie. And so we get the in the beginning of this one, we've got him chasing down Charles Lee Ray, played by Brad Dourif, who runs into a toy store after getting shot by Chris Sarandon's character. And yeah, it's he runs into the toy store and ends up transferring his soul into a good guy doll, which is it was kind of a take on they had some similar dolls around at the time in the 80s. They had like the My Buddy doll and of course Cabbage Patch Kids, which were huge in the 80s. So it was kind of a take on both of those a little bit. And just kind of this consumerist, in the late 80s, there was this real kind of backlash towards consumerist ideals and stuff like that, because the 80s were full of greed and everything. So,
I mean, like the whole like kind of like 80s aesthetic is like malls full of people,
yeah. So, I mean,
which
there's
is
so
very
much of the,
capitalistic.
oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the 80s, the era of the 80s is kind of spawn everything that's kind of gone wrong in American society in terms of capitalism and everything and all that. A lot of that started in the 80s, because not to get too political or anything like that, but because Reagan at the time relaxed a lot of previous restrictions on a lot of things. And so when that happened, it just let everybody just do what they want. But anyway, that all aside, you know, it only plays the smallest of parts in this about the consumerist aspect of it. You know, all these big doll, you know, this doll that every kid wanted. And, and our little hero of the story, Andy Barkley, you know, he's a little kid. He's, I think, 8 years old at the time. He's about to,
the little baby,
the Christmas or is it his birthday? I can't remember. I think it's his
birthday. I
think it was
Christmas.
Coming up.
Oh,
I think
no,
it was
this is birthday.
Yeah, it was
Yeah,
his
this is
birthday.
birthday.
In both movies, it's his birthday. So, but in, but you can tell this kid, all he lives and breathes this good guy stuff. He's already got the pajamas and he's watching the show. He's got the cereal. He's got everything except for the doll. And the doll's really expensive. And so mom can't afford it. She's working a department store job and everything. And so it's interesting just to see all of that. You know, she's struggling. She's trying to make ends meet, but she's still giving what she can to him. And then she gets a chance to get one of these good guy dolls at a real cheap price from a homeless man who's trying to sell one. And she gets it, takes it home, gives it to Andy. And, you know, he's now got his best friend, Chucky. So, but yeah, no, this, you know, before we get into it, I don't want to recap. I'm a big fan of recapping, but you know, I just kind of wanted to do all the setup for all this. But this is an interesting movie. It spawned a huge franchise, one of the most consistent franchises in horror movies. You know, because a lot of horror franchises, especially ones that started in the 80s, they're kind of, you know, not the greatest when it comes to consistency and keeping things on track. But this series was created by Don Mancini and produced by David Kirschner, and both of them continue on through every installment. And in fact, Don Mancini finally gets to direct with Seed of Chucky on. So he got to keep fairly good control. Of course, studios kind of meddled here and there, but you know, he at least after this one, his script got rewritten a little bit. So there are elements in this script that he didn't have in it and that he ended up having to kind of write off later or add more of the stuff that he really wanted that got taken out of this script. So, but what did you think about this first movie, Katrina?
I thought that it was kind of interesting because it only really takes place within like a few different scenes. Like, right. There's the house, there's the place where she works, and maybe like the police station. And like,
well, I mean, there is the institution that he gets put into, and then like, you know, he does go to school with Chucky and then ends up leaving and like,
yeah,
just traveling around Chicago all on his own. Like, an 8-year-old kid with a doll just traveling around Chicago is just like in the 80s. It's just, I want to say that sounds weird, but it was the 80s and that's kind of how things were at the time.
Yeah.
So it's when you look back on it, you're just like, what? There's no way. Yes, this is actually how life was like. This is how kids got abducted constantly in the 80s. So
wasn't the 80s, you know, the like, or never mind. I was going to say that the missing child things on milk cartons. I didn't know if that was the 80s or earlier.
That was the 80s. Okay. No, it was the 80s. Yeah. That's when it originated because a lot of kids were going missing. You know, some of them were runaways and some of them were getting a lot of kids were just getting abducted by family members and stuff like that. The statistics always show that it's largely people, you know, but there was a lot of that, that whole stranger danger thing happened in the '80s. Lots of that stuff was going down. I don't remember when it was, Adam Walsh got, taken and killed, but, you know, his dad then, was the host of, America's Most Wanted, all during the '80s and, or later in the '80s and into the '90s and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, they now have you, if you go to Walmart, you see the code Adam on there.
Yeah.
And it's, that's because of Adam Walsh. So,
yeah.
Really so it's sad. Just interesting. Yeah. So it's just interesting to see this movie and just having this kid. I mean, obviously there's a film crew, you know, going around with him. So it's not like he's not actually just wandering.
It's like extras. It's not actually
exactly. People. So, yeah. So it's just funny to watch it and then just go, oh my God, this actually happening. Yes, it actually happened. Like kids were wandering out around. I was 15 years old and I was traveling to go see my grandparents in New Mexico at the time. And I lived in Hawaii. So I took a plane from Hawaii, landed in LA. When I landed in LA, it was too late to make my connecting flight. So I had to wait for the next morning to make my connecting flight. They put me in a hotel near the airport that they like took me to the shuttle bus to. And then I don't remember what it was. I think I just was weird and got a wild hair up my butt, but I had my skateboard at the time, but I had this giant suitcase also. And I literally was like trying to skateboard across. No. Okay. This is what happened. So I went to the wrong, I went to the wrong place. They told me one place and then they're like, oh no, you need to be over in this other place. So then I skateboarded my way across LAX with this huge suitcase when I was 15 years old. It was ridiculous. It was so dumb.
I wouldn't let you skateboard in airports now.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was mostly outside when I was skateboarding. But yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, the '80s, man, this was 89 when I did that too. So it's just,
that's funny.
The '80s were a different time. It was so crazy, but yeah, no, this movie's a lot of fun because, you know, it's at the tail end of the '80s, it's 88. So it's got, you know, it finally feels like the '80s. There's a lot of movies in the '80s up until about, I would say 85, 86, where they're starting to feel a little like the '80s, but they still have a lot of 70s holdovers. And it's the same thing with the '90s. When you get this, when you look at the '90s aesthetic is just a continuation of the late '80s aesthetic, where it's just kind of day glow everything. And, neon and all that. So it's just funny when we think about these, but 88, but again, it's 88 in Chicago. So it's kind of still grimy and, you know,
yeah,
but anyway, but yeah, I mean, I enjoy this movie. I think I like this one, but I like a lot of the other ones more, especially some of the later ones. Because, you know, we start getting more of Chucky in these, in them later. Whereas this one, you know, Chucky's just trying to get Andy. He's trying to transfer his soul into Andy because he's like, okay, I need to get out of this doll. Because he realizes through the movie that he's starting to feel pain. He's starting to bleed. He's starting to become not necessarily human, but the doll itself is becoming alive. And so he's trying to, he wants to transfer his soul into Andy before that happens. And he figures, well, hey, you know, I'll be an adult in this little kid's body. I'll get to grow up, live a whole new life, as a serial killer. So.
Insane concept.
It is. It really is. It's so, and it continues on through the series. Like, you know, the whole transferring of the soul into dolls and back into bodies and everything else. It's all set down here. You know, the whole essence of the franchise is kind of set down here, even though, again, we don't get a lot of Chucky. We don't get his backstory. We don't get, you know, we get a little bit of it, but not a ton. You know, most of the time he's playing pretend and, you know, And we're getting a lot of exposition from Andy, you know, oh, he says this,
yeah.
he did this, blah, blah, blah. You know, and Andy actually gets blamed for his babysitter's death, or at least suspicion is on Andy that he killed her, because, you know, there's tiny footprints in the flower or whatever that's on the counter. And they're like, it can't be the doll. I mean, which is a continuing, like it continues throughout the series, is nobody ever believes Chucky is the one actually killing anybody. So,
which, like, if it were me, like, in real life, I also would not believe
that.
I'd be like, okay, stop lying. What did you do? Like, I mean, like, when I was a kid, I would blame my brain for my bad decision. And no, but, like, genuinely, I had this, like, anthropomorphic brain that I visualized in my head that I could blame. But, yeah, like, kids blame stupid things. They blame their imaginary friends. They blame the dog, like other,
that's
like
too
things,
funny.
So
and that's the thing too, is like, you know, he keeps saying it's Chucky, he's the one doing it, and nobody believes him. And then he eventually gets institutionalized, they put him in a hospital because they're just like, this kid is out here killing people and something's going on, so we gotta lock him up and figure out what's going on. And it's crazy. This movie, like, they literally lock up this kid. And, you know, but then the doll is still out, and he's going around. He sees him out the window at one point. And so he's just like, I got to get out of here. And somehow he manages to get out of the hospital and goes chasing after Chucky. And it's just wild.
I feel like there's not a lot to say about this first movie, just because it is just Chucky trying to get out of the doll and into Andy, and by trying not to get caught. That's the main thing, is that he's just trying not to get caught that he's in this doll. But
at the same time, he's going around murdering people, though. Mm-hmm. So if he's not trying to get
because
caught,
he still,
like,
has personal vendettas.
For a bit.
He still has personal vendettas that he can't let go of.
All right, because so then, like, he goes and kills the guy who taught him voodoo to be able to, like, transfer his soul. And, you know, it's just, you know,
and
he
his,
tries,
like,
to kill the cop.
Is it, like, accomplice or whatever?
Yeah, his accomplice, Yeah, and then, you know, he tries to kill the cop, Chris Sarandon's character. And, you know, then he goes to try to kill the mom. And so there's all this going on, and he gets the hell burned out of him at the end too. It's just like, and then he's just still coming. This doll is, like, unstoppable. And that's what's funny too, because I've heard people like, oh, well, like, if he's coming at me, I'm just going to kick him away. It was like, yeah, sure, you could kick him away. Like, people do kick him away, but he keeps coming. So, you know, and if you're not expecting a doll to get you, you know, he'll get close to you before you know it. And so, yeah. So, plus, it's a doll, man.
I think that
if you had a doll running up at you, you'd be like, whoa, you know, freaking out before you'd kick it.
Oh my God. So. Yeah. I'd run away.
Right.
Do you think that this movie kind of, like, inspired some of the, like, more recent, like, doll films, like Megan?
I think it plays a part in that. Yeah. Everybody likes a creepy doll. And I think that, you know, Megan takes it and does. So I think what's interesting is that we're going to get into it with the remake. So let's go ahead and just jump into it. Mm-hmm. If we need to, we'll jump back and everything. But the remake takes the central premise of a killer doll and changes the mechanism for it. Instead of a serial killer transferring his essence, it's a rogue AI. At the beginning, you see this guy who is in a sweatshop, who's building all this, and he's being threatened by the boss. He's going to be fired or whatever. And so, but he's got to make this one last doll. And so the guy reprograms and takes all the safeguards off the doll. Mm-hmm. And so making it just killer, which, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I get if you're going to take the safeguards off, sure. But, like, making it homicidal just seems weird. But anyway, so I think that the nature of the remake, while There are aspects of the remake that I like. There's a lot I don't like about it. And I think that if you had not called it Child's Play and made him Chucky and everything, I think it could have been a better movie. And that movie was Megan. So we, because like, you know, when you look at Megan, it's kind of similar in ways. You have this bad AI and, you know, and it's a fun movie. And I think that's what the Child's Play remake fails at, because it hooked its wagon to Child's Play rather than being its own thing. And I think that's, you know, Child's Play did okay, I guess. The remake did okay. I don't think it did super well, but nobody really talks about it like they talk about Megan either. And when you've got the original Chucky series still going on with the franchise, the original franchise still going, it's like, why would anybody pay attention to the remake when you've still got the original franchise going on in a highly regarded TV series that's still going on? So yeah, it's just the I like Aubrey Plaza in this. She's a highlight for me in this. It's cool to see her playing a mom. So I think more serious. She's not as, you know, I like her where she normally plays, you know, very snarky, kind of just who she seems to be in real life. You know, kind of the character she played on Parks and Rec. That's what I like, is that kind of,
or like Scott Pilgrim too. Cause she was in Scott Pilgrim too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's So I like that version of her. I like when she plays that kind of character more than I like the serious, but she did a good job with this. I like Brian Tyree Henry. He plays the cop in this. In this one, he's like more of a neighbor, or his mother's the neighbor and he's there in the building a lot to help her.
Yeah.
So I like him. He's one of those actors that I've really enjoyed over the last few years. He's been popping up in some really good stuff, like The Eternals and Atlanta and everything.
Yeah, was in The Eternals.
Yeah.
I was wondering where I knew him from, but that makes sense. Like, he was in The Eternals.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's really good in lots of different stuff. He's getting around. He's in Godzilla versus Kong. And so he's just been popping up in a lot of cool stuff. And it was funny to go back and see him in this movie, because I'd forgotten he was in it. And so I really, really enjoyed seeing him again.
I think his mom is a famous actress too, isn't she?
I don't know.
I'll have to look her up.
Look it up. Yeah.
I'll look it up while you keep talking.
But they, like, the kids, like, and especially the Andy, the new Andy, he was fine. It wasn't great. But I wish that, no, she's nobody famous from what I see. She didn't even have a link on Wikipedia. So, but the real standout for this, though, I will say this, is that the voice of Chucky in this movie is Mark Hamill. So.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So I love that they got him. Like, if you were going to get anybody to replace Brad Dourif, I thought that was like inspired choice. I still don't. I like Brad Dourif as Chucky. So, you know, I'm glad he's still playing him even now. But, you know, I do think that having Mark Hamill, once I heard he was cast, I was like, okay, this could be good. And it's, again, it's not a terrible movie. I just, in the scheme of all the other Chucky movies, it's just not as good. I feel like they could have done much better with it. And I think that because they were trying to make it something different than what it was, than the other, you know, they kept certain aspects, but they didn't want to be a shot, you know, shot for shot remake. That they went in that AI direction, which isn't bad. Again, I think it's well done when you don't have it as Chucky and it's something like Megan or something else. But you know, it just it didn't play as well. It had some good kills though. I do enjoy the kills in this one. But you know, it's just, I don't know. It when I was watching it this last time, it just felt overlong, drawn out. The fact that he could control other aspects, you know, because he, like the buddy doll in this, that's what they are. And instead of the good guy dolls, they're buddy dolls. And they could control the other products made by the same company that made the buddy doll. And so, and Tim Matheson plays the owner of that company. And I feel like they were probably hoping it would do well enough to spawn a sequel because he's barely used in the movie. And so I feel like maybe they were going to go somewhere else with that. I don't think it did well enough to warrant having a sequel, but who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do it, but I don't think so. Not with Chucky being such a, like the Chucky series being so popular. What are we going to say?
So the mom or the actress that plays the mom of,
Brian Tyree Henry. Yeah.
Thank you. I think I know her from Switched at Birth.
Oh, okay.
Because it says that she played a character in those and she played it for like 10 episodes or something like that. So, but she plays a lot of like bit parts in a lot of various different TV shows. Like she's probably in like 50 TV shows for one episode. Like, she's just one of those actresses and like,
yeah.
So you like, I feel like I know her, but I don't really know her. So it's like one of those things. But yeah, I liked this movie. I think I liked it more than the original just because I found it more like engaging, I think, for me at least. Like I found the story to like, because it wasn't just like, it felt more like a Megan thing where it was like, like a doll that just like didn't know that it was like not supposed to kill people.
Right.
And compared to the first one where it was like a guy who is a serial killer who's in the body of a doll, which is like, okay, I guess. I think it's more scary when it's like AI because it's something that like I think is like a genuine fear for like dolls and stuff, is that rogue AI could happen. Like I'm always afraid with like my nephew's toys, is like that they're just suddenly gonna start talking on their own and like speaking in Russian or something. Like I'm always like, I don't know, it's just like weird. But so I thought that was interesting. I think that the main characters are more compelling. Maybe it's because I know them as actors already. But I also thought that the kills in this were also really good. Like the killing the stepfather or like the mom's boyfriend or whatever, and then having his head boyfriend be like wrapped in like wrapping paper, like gift wrapping paper, was insane. And then giving it to the neighbor was also like, you could have gotten out of that kid, but you're a kid. Right? So I guess like it's just like, I don't know. Also, I think I had more compassion for the mom as a character because it really, like, compared to the first film, it felt like they already put in the fact that she didn't have enough money, but they didn't really go into it a lot, and that her like boss sucked. But for his mom in this movie, like you actually got to see her working the job more and got to see like she's got this low paying job that she's working and she's got to wear this crappy uniform and like all this stuff. And it's like, it's different compared to like the jobs in the 80s, I guess. But it just also, I don't know, there was just a lot in this movie that I liked a little bit more about than the first one. So for me, I think this one is better, but I understand why people would like the original because it's the original. So
I mean, you know, it's just kind of depends on your own preferences, and I'm not saying this one is terrible by any means. I just think that And I do agree with you with a lot of the aspects that you said. There's some good kills. There's, you know, the mom and son dynamic is good and everything. I just think, you know, tying it to the Child's Play franchise, trying to cash in on that that intellectual property is the wrong way to go about it in that way, because I think that it would have been like I said, more interesting to make it its own movie, and like they did with Megan, you know, well, where it's more exactly that way.
My thing about this recent movie is that it felt more of like a standalone than it felt like it was trying to be like connected to the franchise, because it has a different name. It's called a buddy, and then it's also got like this stuff with like the CEO and like all of the other like there's more like, even though we see Good Guys as like that like kids TV show and like all that stuff and like how there's toy sets and like tool sets and like all of this other stuff,
right?
But like, I don't know why, but I'm getting reminded of like the movie Ron's Gone Wrong, which is like a kids animated movie about like a robot, and like these robots are like supposed to be these kids like individual best friends, but it's about like CEOs kind of like cashing in on kids and that kind of stuff. And I think that this movie does a better job at telling that kind of message about the kind of perils and like problems that go into capitalizing off of children and parents,
right,
and things like that.
Yeah,
so because it's buddy, and I don't think it has any interconnectedness to any other like TV shows or anything like that. I think it's just the toy. I don't remember anything in the movie where it was like connected to another like film franchise or TV show franchise or
no,
books or
I'm
anything
not.
Like
I mean,
that.
It
So
might have
I
had
think,
its. It
I think
might
it
have
was
had its
like
own cartoon
kind
or
of like
something.
an American Girl doll kind of thing. So, because I think it had like a commercial or something like that that was like animated, but it wasn't like, I don't know, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I liked that it wasn't called a Good Guy. It was just called Buddy. And I thought the buddy too, the like fucking bear one, was creepy as hell.
Yeah, that was creepy. But that's exactly how they would do stuff too. Like these companies, they just like slap on a new thing and be like, buddy too, you know? And so, yeah. Not realizing just how creepy that aspect of it is. So, but no, I get your point about it, you know, about all that, about the, you know, CEO and, you know, and then, you know, again, it just goes into the capitalism and the consumerism. And I get that, that, you know, because that's really what this remake is more about than in the first one. The first one may have been like, you know, hinting at that a little bit, but not so much. Whereas this remake was heavy with it because it was about, you know, this company, you know, pumping out this original version, then a second version. And, you know, they were, it was all interconnected with all of their other brand name items and stuff like that. Like the buddy could control all the appliances and, and everything like that too. So yeah. And then like, you know, that's how the guy, the detective's mom ends up getting killed, is that like she like downloads the app to her phone, like the company's app to her phone, to call their car, their like self-driving car, and then Chucky takes control over it because he can access all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's interesting. It's definitely a remark on both consumerism, capitalism, and also on the perils of AI. So you know, just being, you know, careful about all that. So Yeah,
For
it's
sure, for sure.
so weird. Anyway, but yeah, so it's but it's a, I mean, like I said, it's not a bad movie. It's a good movie. It's just but you know, I like both of these movies. I like the first one probably better than the second one just because and like I said, the remake is fine. I just in terms of in comparison to not only the first one but also to the franchise as a whole, I feel like it just doesn't hold a candle to it. And again, I think that it would have been much better if it had been something that wasn't Chucky. Again, a
Yeah.
killer doll, AI doll. Again, exactly what we got with something like Megan, where it made it its own thing rather than trying to hitch its wagon to an already existing story. So, but yeah. Yeah, that's really all I have on either of these two. I like the first one. I think it's spawned a fun franchise that's still going strong 35 years later.
Yeah. I think as individual films, I like the second one better, but I definitely think that
The
the
remake, you mean?
first, the yeah, I definitely think that the original has more lasting value than the remake could ever have. So
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm done with both of these. What about you? You got anything else you want to say? All right.
I'm good.
It's a short episode to kick us off. We didn't have a whole lot to say, unfortunately, but I, you know, I do think the performances by everybody in both of these movies, but especially in the first one, it's nice to see both Brad Dourif continuing on as Chucky into the new series and everything, and then the actor Alex Vincent, who plays Andy in this first one, has continued to become part of the franchise as well, even into the second season. At as far as the second season so far, because that's where I'm up to on the TV show. So I'm still watching those, still trying to get caught up. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I know you haven't seen much of any of the franchise outside of these two, and Seed of Chucky when you were little. Yeah, I would recommend checking out the rest of them whenever you get a chance because they're a lot of fun. All right. Well, why don't you let people know where they can find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at RCKMNKY, and I've got a pinned tweet there that has all my different socials.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you for coming on to this first episode of my Chucky series, and be seeing you very soon. Actually, we'll be hearing from you again on Friday for my 100th episode.
Woo!
Yeah.
Excited for
All
that
right.
one.
So I'll talk to you soon. Thanks again to Katrina for joining me. On Friday, it's my 100th episode, and Katrina and Donna are both back for this special episode. And on Friday, Nat Bremmer joins me to talk about Child's Play 2 and 3. Thanks for listening. Creepy and Geeky is a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Please check out morbidlybeautiful.com/podcasts for more great shows. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving the show 5 stars and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also, please share the podcast on social media to help spread the word. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or at creepyandgeeky.com. Music for the podcast is Gratitude, composed by Jerry Smith. You can follow the podcast on social media at Creepy and Geeky on both Twitter and Instagram. If you'd like to follow me, I'm GeekThulu on Twitter and Blue Sky, and Geek.Thulu on Instagram. You can support the podcast by ordering teas and more on TeePublic or by donating to the coffee page. All of the links are in the show notes. Finally, don't forget, stay creepy.